Coming up next, we've got NHL and NBA playoffs, my experience at the Kentucky Derby, and our special guest, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, who just won the 144th Kentucky Derby. All that and more on the Weekly Pass.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yo, made my first million. I'm like, shit, this is it.
Welcome back to the Weekly Pass. I am Bonnie Jo Laughlin. I was not here last week, but my fabulous co-host took over.
And we did.
It went great,
yeah.
Right?
We were here.
Yeah, we took over in your leave of absence.
So we missed you.
I know. I always miss you guys. And it looked like it was a fun show.
We had a great time, yeah.
Talking second round, NBA.
NHL.
NHL, I know.
We had bets on your outfit.
We did.
All that. You can find us at the BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter. And we're going to start, I keep saying this, but we're going to start getting really active on this. I think we're going to have our millennial David take over that. Because that's like, right?
I'm doing all the hockey stuff. I've been doing hockey stuff, but not so much NBA and whatnot.
You can catch me personally at BJ Laughlin on Twitter and at Bonnie Jill on Instagram and Facebook. And David,
oh, yeah, you can catch me at David H. Bloom on Instagram and Twitter. It's easy.
My easy peasy lemon
squeezy.
Throw an
H in there.
Nice. You can find me at Becky Sotero on all social media. Join us for the live chat. We see you. We see you. Talk to us.
And this will be a good time for people to come in and chat because they may not know a lot about horse racing, so this is their time to kind of ask some questions. What do y'all think?
Love it.
Yeah, for
love
sure.
It. Yeah, it's going to be exciting to have them on.
And don't be afraid to ask a question that you may think is, you know, silly or, you know, because...
Not a lot of people know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. But you know, before we dive into that, let's get into hockey, which is Becky's favorite. And tell me what happened to your Penguins.
Y'all.
Because that's the name.
All right. I can concede when hockey is played at its best, may the best team win. And the Caps, after 20 years, are now going to be in the Eastern Conference Final. I think that deserves an applause.
Them. Yeah, I'll give them.
Ovechkin, first time in 10 years, he's going to see.
See, I'm happy for him.
Yes. And I'm not going to lie. Okay, so game 6, that was a surprise. We all thought it was going to game 7. But the Pens did not show up. I mean, almost the entire game. I didn't have to go to the gym, by the way, because my heart rate was, like, out of control. But the Pens just didn't show up. There was hardly any offense. They had no one in front of the net. Malkin was non-existent. Crosby was struggling. And the Caps just showed up.
Why was Crosby struggling?
He's hit or miss, I feel like, these days. Ever since his concussions, I just don't think he plays his full capacity. When he's on, nobody can beat him offensively.
Right, that's what I thought. So. Yes.
No, he's one of the greatest in this entire
league.
Right,
so that's why when you say struggling, I want to know, because I didn't watch the game, that series, what happened?
Sure, well, I think nerves don't typically get the best of the team, but the problem is that Crosby's not like a LeBron. He can't hold the team by himself.
Right.
And there was just no offense. The defense was doing okay, but Letang was slow. It just was not their best game. And when you're into an elimination game, game 6, for a team that is hungry or against a team that's hungry, you're going
to
fall short.
Yeah, that's a team that's really hungry.
I mean, a team
that hasn't been to the Eastern Conference Finals in that long.
20 years.
And with a player as great as Ovechkin, who like desperately wants to do something like memorable with his career, like, good for them.
But I want him to finally get the cup, you know?
I do,
that's
too.
That's one thing that, you know, you kind of want to see a legend like that go down with, right?
Exactly, and that's the story of the finals this year, is that apart from Tampa Bay, we are surprised, everyone's surprised about how these series are going. I mean, let's talk about the Knights. The Knights took care of San Jose, and by the way, let's also talk about a Twitter battle between the Kings, the Sharks, and the Knights. It has been quite entertaining.
Really? What do you mean by that?
So the Kings are like... throwing shade to
the Twitter handle.
Follow the Kings if you don't. But
they've always done that though. Like if you follow the Kings Twitter handle, they've always gone back and forth and they've said some funny things.
But follow the Kings on social media.
Maybe they've stepped it up.
But
now
they're getting under the skin.
But the Kings
of the
aren't in it anymore.
They're not. But they're trying. They're trying to throw some shade. And it's like, okay, I worked for the team. I get you won 2 Stanley Cups, but the Knights are playing incredibly. There's nothing you can say about the way that they're playing. And for an inaugural team making
that's
it as far
I'd
as
say. You know, with them being this new team, and people kind of thought the odds were against them, right? Some people were saying that some of the players were, and I'm going to use the words, you know, bums, but guys that they didn't think would, you know, be on another team and would succeed. And so now look at, I kind of like the underdog.
They didn't think
feel.
That they would be as cohesive. They thought it would take a
the
few
chemistry.
Years.
Yeah, especially
that's with any team.
Yeah, and the fan base there too, because it's an expansion team. Mm-hmm. It's the players that the other teams don't want from their teams given to you to say, hey, build a franchise, do something good. But, I mean, they have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's
unstoppable
old, but
when
he's
on.
Unstoppable. Yeah. They have, like, Carlson and Neil. And they gelled really well.
They did.
And the fan base there is much better than people thought.
Well, oh, and yeah. that's the argument, though, is that
and
a lot of people...
These are locals, by the way. They're not no, like they're, just people like tourists. They're local Vegas.
The fan base
people.
Is amazing.
But listen, they're not... But that's what people are upset about, is that they're upset that there's bandwagoners. Well, of course, they don't
well,
have
well,
the...
It was the first season. What do you
exactly.
mean?
Well, that's the argument, is that like, apparently they're being really difficult. Like, there's been rumors of Kings fans almost getting ran over by fans when they went to Vegas. Like, there's
oh,
a
really?
Lot of real, a lot of tension. However, I will say, when the Kings swept the Blues in 2012... We were not really the nicest fans either.
We
so.
Are not, not. We are terrible fans.
Yeah. yeah.
Do not let us win another cup.
Yeah.
Rangers and Devils, like, we will come for you again right. and again
Hockey
and again.
Fans are pretty crazy. You know, they're mm-hmm. they're good
passionate.
Fans. Yeah, I'll say passionate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they will, I mean, I've seen some of the fans and
They'll
you're
cut
like,
you.
Oh, yeah, they will cut
they
you.
They will. It's a game you have to be passionate about because watching, mm-hmm. it's not... It's a very fast-paced game, if you think about it, but the scoring is so, it's so low-scoring
right.
most of the time.
Every goal is so hard-earned. Mm-hmm.
It's
you
so
know?
Hard-earned that yeah. you got to be there and there and yeah. there and, like, watching the team on offense and go back on defense and switch
right.
and the forecheck.
Yeah.
It's, you are in it
yeah.
for all 60 minutes.
Okay, so let's talk about the Preds and the Jets. Game 7 tomorrow. No one thought this would get to a Game 7
and
series.
And I was in Nashville when they lost. And those
were you?
Yeah, and those Predator fans were...
Depressed. Oh, no, again, they thought it would be another steamroll.
Yeah.
This has just been the story.
They
of
were all,
the,
like, shocked. They're like, we can't believe we just lost. And they were up 3-1, I think,
yeah.
and then the first half, and then they just...
Yeah, Winnipeg's putting it together, so that's going to be a really exciting game. We'll see who the Knights are going to be facing the Western Conference Finals. Yeah,
so the Knights will be playing the winner of what game?
Either the
Preds.
Winnipeg Jets or the Preds.
Yeah.
Who do you think that will be?
I had the Preds and Winnipeg's coming out, so I think that Winnipeg's got the definite momentum.
I want to see right. I want to see Winnipeg because they were a team that was also mm-hmm. like bad a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They weren't, and mm-hmm. I mean like Patrick Laine is doing pretty good. Like I want to see them do good.
I just think
I want to see Winnipeg and Las Vegas do good. Okay,
I want to see the Knights and the Caps. I think that would be such an incredible story for the Stanley Cup.
That's final. What I think because there's so many storylines.
So much,
mm-hmm. you know,
so giving many. Me chills.
And more than before.
I've been to that arena, the T-Mobile Arena, not for a hockey mm-hmm. game, but for a George Strait concert. That is a pretty badass arena,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they built that thing nice, and
yeah.
I've seen it. I mean, watched Knights
yeah.
games. Like, mm-hmm. it's the atmosphere is amazing.
It's, like, perfect.
It's
yeah.
amazing. For mm-hmm. a team in their inaugural season,
right.
it's amazing.
But for real hockey fans, mm-hmm. David and Becky, is it sort of like, okay, inaugural team wins it, or... fans going to be upset kind of that they won it because they feel like it wasn't, you know, earned or it wasn't, you know what I mean? They haven't put the years in and they don't have the real, you know, foundation of these fans that the other teams
yeah,
have.
Yeah, they'll always be that, I think.
Yeah.
They didn't put in their time, but I think that if you're a true hockey fan, you respect good hockey. And the
and you
Knights
look at
are
each player individually
yes.
instead of the team.
And these are not
yeah.
brand new players they brought up
right.
from the minors. These
yeah.
are professional players
oh,
they
course.
Brought from different
yeah.
teams. So they have the credentials. Yeah, it's an inaugural team, but the players themselves, I mean, look at Fleury. He's been in the... Mm-hmm. He's has two Stanley Cups under his belt already. So.
I think there's a misconception. People who don't know hockey are probably thinking that these are a lot of rookies or guys that are pulled up or not.
No.
You're not saying by kids. When it's actually established hockey players
yeah,
that,
they
that
draft,
have been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, the way they drafted was they drafted it, like a win now mm-hmm. mentality.
Right.
Old guys who they knew could produce, like Fleury.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best example of what they
oh,
were
yeah.
trying to do, and it's worked out.
And
it's
McNabb
working.
Came from the Kings. McNabb is
mm-hmm,
defensively
exactly.
stepping up, and he kind of fell behind in the Kings. You know, I don't know. It's
can they win it all?
Yes.
Yes, they very much can.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think if they get in the final, they could. Because here's the thing, too. The Caps right now are, like, on this high, but I hope that they don't play against now a veteran and very experienced playoff team
right.
in the Lightning. And just lose it.
But it's
know?
So funny. You look at, like, the NFL or the NBA, mm-hmm. and it's always talking about who has playoff experience,
mm-hmm.
and that holds such a high regard. Now,
yes.
you look at the Golden Knights.
Yep. That's
it's not mattering.
They
am I right?
Have.
No. But that's why the Golden Knights and the Caps could be such an incredible series, is either both of them have
right.
no experience.
And they play well on the road.
Conference
final.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Which is a big part of their
that's
season.
That's huge.
But,
you know.
Yeah. I just hope the Caps can.
I'm actually, maybe I'm a bandwagoner, but I'm pulling for the Golden Knights too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like their name too because it goes back to the Army, and I flew with the Golden Knights before and jumped out of a plane. So
yeah,
I,
girl.
And I, have, I got that. I like
you
the Army.
You got that
part
background.
Of it.
I like it.
So
I like
I'm
going to
be a bandwagoner. And
no,
I'm
you're not
for the
a bandwagoner.
Knights.
And that's the thing is, I will fight it to my core. That it's not about being, like you said, it's not being a bandwagoner. It's their first season. It's the fact that fans who have been a fan of these teams for, like the Kings, for, you know, 40 plus years,
right.
they're like, oh, you know, we have the. the fan power. But you know what? Vegas. Go Vegas. Yeah. Like, they're killing it right now.
You root for good hockey.
Yeah.
You just want to see good hockey. Not saying, like, you're a fan of the team, but if the games are good and the team has a good underdog story,
you can't help but get excited for them.
No.
Is that fair to say?
No, not exactly. And that's why I was upset about this whole Twitter wars. It was so petty. It's like, you need to respect good hockey.
Right.
And the Kings were just, they went a little bit too far.
Well, I was in Louisville at Kentucky Derby, and that is, I was trying to like add it up. I think it's like my 15th, 16th Derby that I've been to consecutively.
How did it compare?
They're always good. I mean, this one, it was pouring rain. But that didn't matter because I've been there rain or shine. And, I mean, the only thing I always get concerned about is when it's, you know, the slop, the, you know, the safety of the riders, the horses, you know, or the horses. So that was my only concern. But it's always just a good time. I don't know if any of y'all have been to Kentucky, but the Louisville itself is just – they've got that – really that southern hospitality, the ambiance, the fashion, the mint juleps, you know, the greatest 2 minutes in sports. I can go on and on and on. So it's a good time. Oh, there's my
love dress. It. You looked fabulous. I guessed blue, so I lost this bet. But I think Josh guessed red,
he might have
sort of.
Thrown
so
a red
he,
in there.
I thought he did.
I guess my guess was tan. So I'm
You're neutral. I'm
in the middle.
You're Switzerland.
Yeah.
We get it.
And people were like, "Oh wait, that kind of like I was kind of like joking around. It's kind of like my sombrero." But it also that day fell on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, very well planned. I love
so
it.
So it's kind of like the Cinco de Mayo the slash like derby, you know.
It was incredible.
And did you guys watch the race?
I did not, but I heard about the weather.
I don't know
and
if,
it
you,
was,
if yes, you watched the race.
I heard about the weather and the
outcome. Look at this picture. They're going to show the picture. Oh, my goodness. Look at that slop.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Were you guys covered in the seats?
Yeah, because we sit up in the Millionaire's Row, which has the Sky Terrace that is covered. But when you go out to the terrace, you get a little... wet. You can see Marissa wants to play this.
We're going to show some videos.
Let's just say I was a little bit excited for Mike Smith to that's me screaming. I had no voice.
So good.
I was so excited. Well, it's, you know, it's exciting when you have a friend. You know, it's you know how it lays kind of differently when you watch a game or it's someone you actually know.
Of course.
And he's been a really good friend of mine, so we were so excited. And, you know, considering he's, you know, one of the best jockeys of all time.
You're talking about Mike Smith.
Mike Smith. Mm-hmm. He's only won the Derby. This is only his second time.
Mm-hmm. But so, 26 you know, Breeders' Cups.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. He's the man. So it was exciting just to, you know, to see him win. And, you know, normally the favorite, with the Derby, it's such a wide open field. Mm-hmm. It's hard to ever pick, you know, everyone goes, who's going to win? I don't know. It's hard.
Right.
And usually the favorite doesn't always win, you know. So Justify's been the favorite, and people are wondering, you know, he's undefeated, but he didn't race as a two-year-old. You know, how well would he do in a different track? You know, there's so many different things. You remember these are animals that are used to certain things, and he's you know he races out here in the West Coast at Santa Anita. And
didn't he win in
here.
April? The horse
won in Derby. So yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, horse racing happens only, you know, three times a year: the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and the Belmont. But it's year round, and these horses, you know, they get used to certain tracks, certain weather, you know, all.
That's what I was wondering is how I want to ask him about the weather. How does this horse train for that, honestly?
Right. And you just never know.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
He was out of gate 11, wasn't he? I think that was an advantage to them. I want to know about that, too.
Yeah, I mean, and that's good, because I think for our, you know, our viewers, they should ask some questions that, you know, that make them wonder, you know, because it is a different, if you think about it, horse racing is such a different sport. Than,
incredibly.
Than sports,
well, and
you know?
People think that these jockeys are just sitting on a horse. There's so much they have to know, so much athleticism.
There's too much, honestly, like, thinking, because you just see, and you see, okay, the horses are running around in a circle, and then one of them, no, it's so much more than that.
Right.
It's the training, it's the effort by the jockeys, it's everything they do to make, like, it's their, it's like their horse.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing sport.
You know,
sport.
It's not like,
it really is.
It's also, you never know, the horses have bad days, just like we do, so they don't want to.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, it's unpredictable, maybe they don't want to run, maybe they don't like this, they don't, you know, something, you know, they're funny. It's
like,
real.
We don't want to get our hooves in the mud.
Who were your guys' picks? I know you
I picked Justify.
Oh, you did?
Because you didn't hear the story,
well, no,
I'm sure.
No, why? Because the name? Or
the name.
Were you a fan of the show?
Okay, no.
Oh,
so,
okay, I don't
Justin
know.
Timberlake's first album.
It was
Justify.
She described this.
It was
Justify
IED.
But I thought, you know, there's a tie. NSYNC just got their star the day before. I was like, there's like stars. And anyway.
Right. Oh, okay.
Don't judge me.
Because isn't Justify a TV show? Am I making that
up? It is.
Up?
No, it is. It is. You're right. And what was your pick? You picked dead last, Ireland.
Yeah, my pick may have got dead last.
Oh, you picked the Ireland pick.
Mm-hmm, I may have. I may have gone for the, they've never won before, and why not?
But Bonnie Joe, was he your pick? Justify?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously because of Mike as well, but then I had him in a trifecta, and, you know, I actually hit the trifecta, but since it was all favorites, I didn't win big. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, normally, if there's a long shot in there, like My Boy Jack or some of the other ones
that came in,
then it's, you know, you, by the odds, you know, you kind of want.
Okay.
Somewhat.
See,
I've never really known
how the betting works. It's good to
you
know.
You want a long shot. Okay. For money wise.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise, it's like even money. Like, I end up kind of just having breaking even.
Got it.
Yeah, it's how bets work. Like, the worse the odds, the more money you're going to win. That's how it works.
Funny, Bob Baffert, the trainer of Justify, Hall of Fame trainer, he was interviewed by TMZ when he landed back in Los Angeles. And it was funny what he said about Justify.
You know what? I have really good clientele. They, you know, put a lot of money up. They're serious about it, and we have a good staff. And you know, we get a. It's like being a coach. You get a good. If you get LeBron, you better win.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. You compared this horse to LeBron.
Well, he looks like LeBron. Yeah, he's big, powerful, athletic, fast. So very rare, very rare. You know, he's a beast.
Does he have a chance at the Triple Crown?
Well, we got to get to the next one first.
Yeah,
that's ways off.
That's all.
He's good enough.
He's good. Is he up there with American Pharoah?
Oh, he's up there with him. Yeah.
Wow.
Outstanding horse.
Now out of horse trainers, you're the second most successful horse trainer of all time. Five Kentucky Derbies.
Yeah. Well, I just feel fortunate.
You know? I mean, you are. You're synonymous with. You're basically the LeBron James of horse trainers. Would you ever be the Michael Jordan?
I'd like to get paid like LeBron James. Yeah. Once, and then we all.
Well, congratulations, man. You're a class act. You have the best head of hair.
Purple shampoo.
Yes, this is true. Purple shampoo, it really works for blondes, light colored hair.
Oh, really?
It's huge.
I didn't know that.
It's a thing. Yeah. Purple shampoo.
Okay, well,
he does have a great head of hair.
So yeah, it's nice to see this, you know, and I'll talk about this with Mike, the bond between this trainer and jockey, because they've been, you know, bonded. You know, Baffert always puts Mike on his horses, and you know, to see that with, you know, a combination like that with a horse as good as Justify, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Preakness, which is in 2 weeks, and then after that, you know, going for the third leg, which would be the Triple Crown.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
which would be crazy.
Which is so rare. I think American Pharoah did it in 15, right? And before that. It's not only winning one race is hard enough, but to win all three,
and people don't realize it's really tough. You know, it's
so
hard,
tough.
You know, to do that, you know, every 2 weeks, and it's different tracks, and I mean, there's so many, you know what I mean? There's so many elements.
There's so many factors and like variables that you can't even account for. It may say sunny. The weather could say sunny the entire time, and it could start pouring.
Oh, and that's exactly what happened in Louisville.
Exactly.
It said that it was going to be 80 degrees sunny, and then it was pouring rain.
And
you know that
adjust.
Is the first time in Kentucky Derby history that it had that much rain.
Really?
3 inches of rain, yeah. And it was actually raining at post time, which, you know, normally it kind of subsides. And, it, you know, Kentucky's one of those places where it, like, you know, flies in the storm and then, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
But no, it, like, it held on. So, but I'm glad you guys both, well, you picked Justify.
I did.
But how about in the Preakness? You guys will have to pull for mine.
Yeah, I don't think I can. Like, I have to now.
Right.
I definitely have to.
Yeah, definitely. Do we have Mike on the line?
Yes.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Are you coming off your high yet, or are you still celebrating?
I think I might have even blown up a little higher.
How are you feeling now? I mean, now that it's, you know, everything's kind of subsided and you're, you know, getting ready for the Preakness, what are your thoughts and feelings after winning, you know, your second, you know, Hall of Fame jockey, you know, big money Mike, you've done everything, but this is only your second Derby win.
I'm beside myself. It's getting better as each day goes by, to be honest with you. I just can't stop getting over how wonderful this horse ran, man. He just ran a tremendous race and just very proud to be part of the whole team, you know.
So when you crossed the finish line, what was going through your mind? I mean, the other time that you won the Derby, you were on Giacomo, 60-1, and now you've got Justify, and you just win the Kentucky Derby, the 144th running of the Derby.
Well, it wasn't, you know, expected the first time, and it was, of course, the first time that you do it, so everything was just kind of an out-of-body experience, where this was, it was, you know, he was a favorite, so it was a big sigh of relief, just just very, what's the word I'm looking for? Just thankful that I pulled it off and you know, and as like I said, as the days are coming on now I can kind of really let it soak in and enjoy it a whole lot more. But it was just a big relief to start with.
And, you know, we were expecting something big when you crossed the finish line. And, Mike, you didn't do anything. I wanted you to put your arms up. You know, you did it when you came back around. But everyone was waiting for something big at the finish line. But you were just focusing right in that stretch, right?
Yeah, you know, I just didn't want to move around on him too much, to be honest with you.
Sure.
You know, I just didn't want to be, you know, after a mile and a quarter running that hard, that fast, you know, you get to shifting your body weight around. Sometimes, you know, who knows, it might have hurt him a little bit. So I was just wanting to just be as still and pull up as nice and easy and slow as he wanted. Just kind of let him kind of take his time to gather himself and pull up nice and safe so we can head on to the next one.
Now, Mike, you broke really good from the gate and you got the lead, but I saw the fraction in the first quarter and it was 22-1 and then 45-3 at the half. And I was thinking to myself, Mikey's going too fast. You know, is he going to have enough horse left? Talk a little bit about that, because you seemed like he was going pretty easy, but the fractions were high.
Yeah, I mean, I was forced to go that fast. I didn't have much choice. You know, I had a horse on the outside pushing me. So,
right.
I mean, it was, I certainly didn't want to let him get in front of me and shove me in behind the pace setter. Then I'm trapped and stuck, and I'm going to have to take, you know, a lot of mud in the face. So, you know, he's lightly raced. He's only been three. I just wanted him to have a good, clear trip. If it was a little on the fast side, I thought that he was certainly capable of it. I mean, I know the ability that he has. And I thought he could handle something like that. And I was just, you know, very, very confident that he could. And it all just paid off. Although we were going quick, if you'll take a look at the race, all the contenders were right around me. They weren't far off me. I mean, you had Volt D'Oro right to my outside. You had Good Magic right in behind me. I you know, and so I figure if I'm going fast, they're going fast as well. So we'll just have to hope we can hold any closers off. And when Good Magic came at me, man, he just jumped in the bridle and gave me every indication that he wasn't about to give up. And, of course, that made me feel a whole lot better.
Now, Mike, we were talking about the rain. It was over 3 inches of rain, which is not normal for usually during the race. It was one of the biggest rain in Kentucky Derby history. How did the track feel? And to justify, he handled it pretty well. I know in his second start at Santa Anita, he ran in the rain. So how did he feel?
He felt great. I mean, it got pretty deeper than normal, that normally does there at Churchill when it gets wet. It usually gets really kind of hard and fast, but it got pretty sticky there for that race. And but he's such an athlete, man. He handled it so well. I think that you could run just about over anything. You could run him on a very soft turf course, and I don't think he'd mind it.
How does he compare to Arrogate and Zenyatta and some of the other horses that you have ridden, Mike? Because you've ridden some of the top horses, you know, in the world.
Oh, he's just incredible. They all are. Arrogate's a machine. You know, Zenyatta was Zenyatta. I mean, they all just, in their own right, man, they're just unbelievably talented, and they have a brilliant mind that goes along with all the talent they have. And, you know, that's the it factor. When you can get a horse with that kind of ability and talent, you get a mind to go with it. That's the key right there. You know, a lot of times you get one or the other. You don't get them both, and he has the it factor.
Now, Mike, you tend to have a real, you know, strong bond with your horses. For our, you know, viewers and listeners who don't know about horse racing, you really do have to get that bond with the horse and almost become one with them.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's about blending in with them and not them with you. You know, on the racetrack, it's their time, and you gotta just kind of become part of them and get along with them really, really good. And we seem to get along very, very well. Of course, I'm sure a lot of other guys would get along with them just as well.
Yes, you sure do. Mike, this is Becky. Such a pleasure meeting you. Congratulations on 26 Breeder Cup wins and now this huge win. Wow. Pleasure to meet you here. We would love to know, when was there a particular point when you knew Justify was special? I mean, as Bonnie Jill mentioned, you've ridden on a lot of very special horses. Is there a moment you can pin down when you're like, this is a special horse?
Well, they knew it early on, actually, even before he ran. Everything he does is above average, man. I mean, he's such an athlete. I mean, his works before he ran first time out were just incredible. He was working with some really good horses that have already proven themselves, and he was just crushing them. So he was already giving them, you know, signs that he was something special. Now it has to, you know, carry over to the afternoon, which is the tough part. A lot of times you'll get horses that'll do it in the a.m. They just don't do it in the afternoon when it's time to run. And after you watch him run the first time he ran, you knew there was something special. And then it's a big question of, will he get around two turns? And after he did that, the second time out, it was... We were off to the races, so to say.
Yeah. Now, for people who don't know a lot about being a jockey, there is so much athleticism that you require. Can you talk about something in your training routine that maybe the average person may not know that goes into your training?
Well, I just train a lot, period. I don't train anything any different, really, than any other athlete. I just, you know, I just stay at it. I make it a way of life. I go anywhere from 5 to 6 days a week, and you know, riding is a lot of legs, a lot of core.
yeah.
And lungs, man. You got to learn how to breathe, man. You have to. If you're not getting air to the, if you're not getting oxygen to the muscles, I don't care how fit or strong you are, you're gonna fail. You'll hit fatigue a whole lot faster. So, you got to learn to actually breathe, you know, and take some air and calm down, get into a rhythm, just like you'd ask a horse to, you know.
Sure.
Hey, Mike, it's David speaking. Wonderful to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, first of all, of course, congratulations. I mean, such a huge win, and I'll be rooting for you for the Triple Crown. Just want to know a little more about, like, your history. I know you've had such an amazing career, but when did you actually start riding?
I started in 1982 in New Mexico. I'd been riding since I was a kid, though. I was riding match races, which is, you know, where two farmers have a horse and one says he's faster than the other guy, and they match him and they run him down the road for about 350 yards. And I used to do that when I was very young, and then started professionally in Santa Fe, New Mexico in 1982. And I never looked back since, and just been going.
That's great. And just wanted to know a little bit more, you know, about your history. What was it, I don't know, either inside of you or some sort of drive that made you want to pursue this as a career, as like a real professional career?
Well, I was always athletic when I was young, but I just wasn't big enough to you know, to play football. Football is one of my passions. I love watching it, love playing it, but I love basketball, love playing baseball, and I was kind of good at all things. I just wasn't big enough, and I was crazy about horses at a very, very young age, and I thought, wow, maybe this is something I could do. And then I was blessed with the right size. Of course, I didn't grow a whole lot, so that certainly helped. And you know, just pursued that. And you know, I remember at a young age watching the Kentucky Derby, watching Secretariat win when I was just a kid, and thinking, wow, man, maybe I could be a jockey and win the Derby some year. You know, and here you are, man. Just a lot of hard work. And you know, it also helps when you absolutely love what you do, and I just love horses, and I love riding, and it doesn't even feel like work. I can't believe I get paid to do that, to be honest with you.
I know. Mike, do you even ride horses unless you're getting paid?
Well, not anymore. I don't, because I'm scared I might fall off and get hurt.
Now,
right now it has to be for a check, you know? But when I retire, I certainly will. I mean, I love getting on horses.
Could you ride Western as well? Didn't Tuff Hedeman, all-around cowboy, who's a good friend of yours, didn't he say that you wanted to be a bull rider too, or you were thinking about that?
Oh, yeah. I did it all. When I was a kid, I was in all the horse programs, 4-H and all that. And, man, I rode bulls and tried roping and you name it. I tried to do it on a horse, you know. And I wasn't very good at bull riding. Of course, Tuff and all those guys, they went on to, especially Tuff, went on to be world champion like three or four times, man. But I couldn't. I just wasn't quite big enough to even ride a bull, I guess, to be honest with you. But horses just came natural to me. I mean, I just had a way with them at a young age, for whatever reason. I can't explain or describe it. I just kind of know what they're saying, believe it or not.
Now, you know, Bob Baffert and you are both, Bob Baffert's a trainer of Justify, are both Hall of Famers. And, you know, talk about that relationship you guys have, because you guys, you know, have a great personal and business relationship.
You know, we really do. We're very close to Bob and Jill and their family, man. We're good friends, and you know, Bob's been telling me for a while, man, I want to win a Derby. What with you? I want to win it. You know, he's been, we've been talking about this for a while, and for the, you know, we thought we had it early on with McKenzie, and then he got hurt, and then, you know, of course, this great, this big red thing jumps out of that, seemed like nowhere, although it wasn't. Bob said, I think I got him for you, you know, and look what happened, man. It's just incredible. What a, that in its own right, him getting this horse ready off of three races to run a mile and a quarter and to win the Kentucky Derby is a feat that's indescribable. It's what he did is crazy, man. People just, normal trainers just don't do stuff like that. He's just brilliant.
Right. And a lot of people who don't know, he didn't race as a two-year-old at all, Mike, and so people had a lot of doubts about him winning the Derby.
Well, yeah, they had the Apollo curse, they call it. It's been since 1850-something, 100-something years since a horse that didn't race at two to win the Derby. So, I mean, it took a horse like this to get it done. I mean, he's just a special individual.
Now, it's funny, Bob, because we were talking a little about NBA playoffs before you came on, and Bob was saying that Justify is the LeBron James of horses.
He's a beast, I'll tell you that. So man. Well, you've seen him up close, sure. He's just a big, magnificent-looking horse, man. I mean, his muscle tone and his color, I mean, everything about him is just gorgeous. And like I said before, he's got a great disposition, a wonderful mind that goes along with it on top of everything else. So he's just a special guy.
Now, he came back today. They're saying that he's good. He rebounded back pretty well after that race, so you'll be good to go in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what Bob said, especially this morning. When he first, after the race, he had a slight little bruising in the back, his back feet a little bit, which is a little tender, but now with 2 days gone by, he's already over that. And I guess he was full of himself this morning. They brought him out, and he was just all his energy is back, and he's ready to go. So, the Lord willing, we'll stay happy, healthy, safe, and sound, and we'll get there, you know. See what happens.
Perfect. Well, we'll be rooting for you. Becky, you want to
My goodness. Well, I do have actually a question for you. Did you start out of the 11th gate? Did I remember that correctly?
No, we were down to 7th.
7th. Okay. Seven. So can you talk about that? The starting position really has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? The outcome of the race?
The Derby with 20 horses, it's very important to get out well, because as you saw, a lot of the horses in the race, especially towards the outside, just got annihilated even there.
Sure.
And I mean, in one jump, it's over. I mean, you could lose it in one jump. So it's extremely important to get away good. And he's on the big side. He's probably the biggest horse in the race, to be honest with you, I believe.
Yeah,
so a lot of times those big horses are just a little bit slow the first jump. But man, I mean,
gorgeous.
Wow. He caught a flyer leaving there. He jumped so good. I was just beside myself. More than half my job was already over after the break, you know.
We're looking at a live picture, or a picture of you racing, and it's just literally like a work of art.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is.
My goodness.
Well, thank you. I don't know. Maybe abstract art.
No, it's pretty incredible. Well, congratulations on that. Well, we were wondering if you would play a fun game with us. It's called This or That.
And, Mike, we do this to get to know all of our celebrities and athletes that come on, to kind of get people to know you outside of your sport.
Sure.
Don't be shy.
So I'm gonna say two things, and then you'll tell us this or that. So the first one is going to be LeBron or Jordan?
Jordan.
Yes.
Good answer.
You just won the panel with that answer.
Good answer.
Lucky Penny or Rabbit's Tail?
I'd rather pray.
Oh, I like it. Speaking my language. Wonderful. Lucky Penny, then. I'll tell you that story later. Taco Tuesday or Delivery Pizza Friday?
I'm a Delivery Pizza Friday kind of guy.
Yes. Mike for the win so far on these. Cruise Control or Leadfoot?
I'm relaxed, man. I'm just floating along the freeway.
You like speed on the horses, that's
very
it.
Very
speed.
Yeah. I do enough danger stuff as it is.
Right. All right. Cruise control behind the wheel.
I ain't no lead for it, that's for sure.
I like it. Tom Hanks or Tom Brady?
I'm a football fanatic, man, but I admire Tom Hanks' work as an actor. But, man, Tom Brady's just had his world.
Good stuff. Sporting event or concert?
You know what's so funny is I love both, man. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge music fan as well, but... depends who was at concert and who was playing
sure.
What kind of sport.
Sure. It's very like true. Game 7 of the finals.
That's a
tough
one there for me.
Yeah, for sure. Beach or mountains?
Hmm.
In the past, I probably would have said mountain, but since I moved out to California, I'm starting to lay out in the sand a little bit. I used to be a little funny, but I used to call it dirt. Sand and dirt, but I'm starting to enjoy it. I'm just saying I don't go in the water much. Let's put it that way. I'll be a little bait for those big sharks.
Sure. Yeah. And just a few more here. French fries or French toast?
French toast.
Mm-hmm. Now, handyman or hire a man?
Oh, hire a man. Yeah.
That's a good one. And this one hilarious. Is special for you. Kentucky Derby or Breeders' Cup?
Whew.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, dun, dun, dun. You can thank Bonnie for that one.
Man, Bonnie, that's a... Both. I've been so blessed now. I've been so blessed to have won more than one Derby. But, man, Breeders' Cup is awful special to me as well. Very, very special to me, actually. I go crazy on Breeders' Cup.
Mm. Now, Mike, before we let you go, I have one more question. Do you have a pre-race ritual? Because once Becky mentioned that, do you do something? I know that you're religious, like myself, but is there something that you do, you know, every time, kind of superstitious?
You know, I say a prayer before I go out every time. Mm. You know, just for everybody to come back safe and the horses back safe and sound and all the riders. And I don't pray to win, but I kind of did, like, I don't know if you ever heard of Fee Pin Kai's story when he won on Swell, where he said, I prayed this morning to God, but I didn't pray to win with his accent. He said, but I did ask him for a little pooch.
It's not a bad thing to ask for some favor.
Yeah, you know? It's okay. You can ask a favor every now and then.
I got that little push out of the gate. I felt like someone pushed me out of there. I'll tell you that.
I love it. That's so good. Well, the penny thing, really quick, I want to mention that. The penny, if you guys look at a penny, it says, in God we trust.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So a penny is a reminder
to me.
There
you go.
Yeah. Yes, it's a reminder to me to always trust. I always keep a penny. That's my lucky thing. Nice. That's why I use that cushion.
I like that. I like that. Now you got me doing something new now.
There you go. There you go.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. You know, it's always great having you on. Good friend. And, you know, we're going to be.
I loved it.
We're going to be.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to be praying.
Hopefully we'll be doing this again in a couple weeks.
Yes, definitely. Yes. And I'm going to try to make it out to the Preakness, Mike. If not, when you win that, because you will win it, we will. I'll see you at Belmont for Triple Crown.
Good Lord willing. Thank you. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. You're the best.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks.
See y'all later. Nice meeting you guys.
You too.
Good to meet you too.
Good luck.
Isn't he great?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, VJ, he is awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
Good guy, right?
Such a great guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you want to, you know what I'm saying, you really want to pull for him.
I want to pull for him now. Yeah. He's such a nice guy.
Right.
Wow. And gracious. So humble.
And gracious. Yeah, so humble. That's what I was talking about. Like, you've probably seen some races, but when they go across the line, they put their hands up, they do something kind of crazy. He was still focusing, and then, you know, after when he came back around to do his victory lap, he just kept, you know, praying and thanking.
Yeah, not a lot of, I haven't met a lot of people that would be that humble after a Derby win, I'll tell you that much.
It's incredible. It's
amazing. And he heard it. He's going to come back here in two weeks when he wins.
That'd be an exciting.
And you know, it'd be nice live, you know, somewhat up the street, is to get him in studio.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Maybe after the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
No, that was fun. I feel like you guys, you know, kind of engaged in that kind of learned a little bit about it. It kind of makes you have a different respect for what they do, too.
Oh, I haven't.
You know, they're not making the millions of dollars like, you know, some of these athletes, and they're putting a lot of hard work.
But it's dangerous, too. They're putting the speed that they go, and you have to, it's so...
Well, to control this animal, it's just not...
If you watch the Secretariat, you actually see a lot of what goes into being a jockey, which is why I wanted to ask him. Like, people don't realize how much athleticism
it takes. You guys also remember, you know, he didn't probably want to, you know, speak about it too much, but these jockeys, you know, they have to stay so, you know...
Still?
No, the weight that they have to stay at. Okay. You know, a lot of the guys, you know, they fluctuate between, like, 112, 116, and... This is like, these are men that are having to control these huge, you know, animals, and they're not, you know what I'm saying? They're like that wiry strong, if that makes sense. You know, they're not the big muscles.
Sure.
No, but they can balance themselves on a horse. But the scary thing about that is if you fall in that speed on that ground in a race like that, for a lot of people, that could be it.
A lot of them end up in a wheelchair.
They put their bodies on the line every single race, and I find that amazing. They don't get enough respect.
No, and you know, there's not even a union. So after they retire, there's nothing for them. There's, you know, so they have this, you know, the Jockeys Disabled Fund that helps with them when they retire or when, you know, if they're hurt while they're riding, because there's not there's not a union like NFL, NBA, MLB, which you'd be shocked, right? It's 2018.
Right. Yeah,
the 144th running of the Kentucky Derby, and there's not that. So,
well, 44th. I found it interesting. The most interesting comment is him saying when he the reason why he didn't celebrate is because of the weight on the horse. I had no idea, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the smallest shift could actually either spook the horse or...
Well, sometimes you'll see a jockey kind of look back and that can, you know, kind of screw up some things. But he was... still, there's been some that still will still kind of do something because you just won the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
it's feeling takeover.
And I wonder what the horse thinks. Do you think that they know they just won? Like,
well,
what's
some
happening?
Do, like, you know, California Chrome. I don't know if you remember that horse.
Yeah,
actually did a couple features on him, and he actually loved the crowd. He loved the cameras. People would take photos and say, Chrome, Chrome, and he'd be like this.
You're kidding.
Literally like, yes, this side, this side. You know, and then some horses don't even, you know, they're not... Yeah. You know, but some, you know, just like anything, they kind of just know that there's so something different about that race.
You can feel
the energy.
It.
You know, like animals go off by energy.
Yeah, it's an energy that's put out. Like sometimes you can just feel it.
Right.
You just know.
Ooh, there's some throwing shade happening on LeBron in the chat. I'm just saying.
Good or bad?
It says, I don't see any quit in this horse. LeBron quits on his team.
Ooh.
All right, Bernard X.
I like that.
Wow. He came back. He brought one back for the land.
He banked it. He banked that shot.
He banked one into the land.
Oh, God. Woo! Completely. I was watching that in Louisville, and the whole, like, we were at Mike's celebration dinner after he won, and everyone was watching the Cavs game, and everyone's like, he banked it. Like, we were just like, who makes that shot? I mean, I don't like LeBron, but you got to give him some.
You got to give him some. And respect. That's a good shift.
I mean, he really, he's something kind of special.
He's something amazing. And a shot.
And
like,
I respect what he does. He's still kind of a, you know,
I can't say
the word, but, you know, he just sometimes, come on, he babies some things and, you know, he barely gets hit and he falls and he's crying. And come on.
But I mean, he carried that series.
He carried. Oh, no, he's carrying that team.
Four wins versus really the Raptors. But a shot like that, it's a lot of people don't understand. To kiss it off the glass that softly, one shot to, I mean, if
six
not,
seconds.
You send it overtime, 6 seconds to drive the length of the floor, that angle, that shot, that height off the glass. It's almost impossible.
It is impossible. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah. People see bang shot and they think, oh, we just banked it in.
Of course.
But the beauty of a bang shot like
that. And really watch that shot.
It's like Tim Duncan-esque.
Yeah, it's actually.
It really is.
It's crazy. And I kept saying to everyone, the only way that the Cavs probably will exit the playoffs is the Pacers. And the Pacers handed them that. Because think about it. The Pacers
took them to seven. They took them to a tough seven.
And then they sweep the Raptors. I mean, if you really think about that first round, David and Becky, like, there were a couple games that the Pacers should have won. And so
they
Cavs wouldn't even be there. And you look at a regular season with the Raptors, they have the best, you know,
record.
Number one
East.
Seed and the best history in their franchise. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean? Absolutely nothing.
They get 4-0'd by
nothing.
A four seed.
Yeah. Nothing.
By a
and then
four
you
seed.
Think about it, they even struggled against the Wizards. Mm-hmm.
They did. It's one of the first, I'm not going to say one of the first times, but every year in the East, you kind of see the same thing of LeBron never gets that one seed. It's always, this year was the Raptors, the Celtics get it a couple times, it was the Hawks,
it
was
the Pacers. Nothing. The number one seed means nothing.
It means nothing in the East.
Especially in the NBA.
LeBron could get the 8 seed and still take a team to the finals. It doesn't matter for him. That's why they rest those guys at the end of the regular season. This is the first time in a long time I've ever looked at a 4 and a 1 and said, that 4 is going to win, no doubt.
Right.
That 4 is going to sweep him, and the 4
And then you see DeRozan doesn't even get to play. He's ejected after slapping Jordan Clarkson around. That game 4, I don't know if you guys watched it. It was so boring and anticlimactic. It was just, you just knew it. Like, I already knew that they were going to sweep, but you just thought it'd be a little more competitive, don't you think?
I hoped it would be more competitive.
Well, I think we thought it was going to go to 6 at least. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just...
I had more faith in DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry.
Well, Lowry, like, he just doesn't, they don't show up. There's something about that platform, that big stage, they just can't do it.
Do you think the previous round maybe, like, tuckered him out?
No, not at all. They just don't show up. There's certain guys who just don't show up in the playoffs.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just like, it's this idea of, in today's NBA, it's, the game has gotten, I won't say tougher, but the players have just gotten better. So you have this level of, like, megastar of LeBron and, like, I'll throw, like, Durant in there and Curry's up there and players like that. And then you have below them, like, superstars, like DeRozan's in there.
Right.
And just because DeRozan's not top, top tier doesn't mean he's not an amazing player. But if you're playing against guys who are, like, like LeBron, I would say, is so much better than DeRozan. When you're playing against guys like that and you have to rely on...
I mean, you really can see the difference, too, of just... And you know what you always have to look at is how players just step it up when it comes to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then the guys who play great regular season, you know, and I'm not just talking about rookies, but they just like hit a wall.
No,
you know?
It happens. Yep.
Right?
It's that April, May, June basketball. Yeah, and LeBron just can't thrives.
And he thrives, mm-hmm. you know, and it's crazy. I mean, yes, J.R. Smith and Kevin Love and Korver, they all got hot, which helped, right? Mm-hmm. But it still was, it's just, I mean, they just destroyed the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they destroyed them. Even in, like, games were close. Like, I know there were a couple, like, close mm-hmm. shots and, like, you know,
yes,
games
there
game
were,
winner.
But.
But still, I mean, I always want to say a win is a win.
Right. Right,
but there's a difference between a win off the glass at the last second, a win by two, and a win that they just completely blew them out in game four. But regardless,
that was the only game that was really exciting was yeah. game three.
Yeah, game three was definitely.
Regardless, yeah. I mean, they swept them. Right. They were just mm-hmm. they proved they're the better team, and mm-hmm. I really think they have a shot at the finals.
Yeah, like, oh, I've got confidence. 100%. Are you kidding?
And what happens now with Casey? Dwayne Casey, you mm-hmm. know. You know, head coach had this because they're talking about firing him.
Because every single year, all the teams lose and they find the scapegoat, and it's always the head coach.
It's always the coach.
Dwayne Casey is an amazing coach.
I love him. He's a great coach.
But you know, have to play basketball.
But you know how it happens. This is a player's game.
It's a player's game.
And they will always blame the head coach.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You always are going to do that. But he still has guys like DeRozan and Larry who have to show up. But it's not mm-hmm. his fault if shots are not falling and players are not stepping up in these big games. Do not blame the coach because he brought
that
team to a first
seed.
Oh, they
do. Well,
yeah, it won't matter. Yeah, they're not going to fire a player.
We don't have much time before we close up this show, but let's talk a little bit about we've got the Warriors, Pelicans. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green is playing out of his mind.
Amazing. He's right? That he's the heart of that team.
He really is the heart of it. I mean, and they've just got so many weapons. I mean, it's mm-hmm. crazy. You know, it was interesting to see, you know, Draymond playing center and, you know, matching up against Anthony Davis mm-hmm. and to see how that was going to be because, you know, for a while they tried JaVale McGee and that didn't work.
No.
So Draymond, you need him. He's mm-hmm. intensity. I mean, and he's another guy we talk about. Look at him during the regular season and look at him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. He's stepping up.
It's crazy how well
how
he's playing.
Mm-hmm. Playing with your heart, that's when you step up. You step up in the playoffs and you use that pure strength that he has and intensity. I mean, you see a lot of players get teed up a lot, but it's because they play with their heart. Right. They let their emotions get the better
of
them sometimes.
And I'd much rather have a guy on my team that has heart and, you know, maybe gets a little emotional and, you know, mm-hmm, maybe, you mm-hmm. know, is going to throw a couple elbows, and, you know, but I like that as a player. I like the intensity. I think every team needs that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know he may foul out every now and then in certain things, but I like that emotion. I like that heart. I don't like the guy who's always even keel. That's just my opinion.
No,
I definitely agree.
Well, because the players need to feel like they got each other's backs.
Yes.
Like, we're in this together.
And there's someone that always got your back and someone who's, you know, like in hockey, the enforcer, you know
always.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think you like that.
That's why fights are a big deal mm-hmm. in hockey is because it actually team morale.
So we know that it's basically, if you think about it, it's probably, unless we see something completely crazy or, you know, a really bad injury, it looks like it will be the Warriors and Cavs.
Yeah, apologies to the Pelicans and the Jazz, but come on.
Yeah.
Come on now. It's the Western Conference Finals we've all been waiting for.
And going back to hitting a wall, Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell, mm-hmm. it's showing.
It's a wall.
Right?
No.
It really is. And I hate to say because I do like both of them a lot.
Oh,
but
me too.
But I think you'll see that they can get over that wall, you know, that hump when they play their sophomore year next year.
I mean, it's a look, and you take a look. I just want to quickly look over to the Celtics-Sixers series, which I think.
I was glad they got one. The Sixers,
I think they were due one.
One.
But it's the Celtics. It's because of
Brad Stevens. I'm sorry, it's Brad Stevens all the way.
Sometimes I don't want to blame the coach, but sometimes for wins, you just got to blame the coach.
He's just a phenomenal coach. And think about it. You know, everyone, you know, I know we're not forgetting, but no Kyrie Irving.
No Hayward. Season.
So imagine, this is the only thing that bothers me going into the Eastern Conference Finals, because mm-hmm. we know it's going to be Celtics-Cavs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If they had those two, I really believe that the Celtics would beat the Cavs.
Who's going to give LeBron a run for their money, though?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way Stevens shut down, the way Brad Stevens shut down Ben Simmons, game where he had 1 point.
Oh, I know.
I want to see what he throws at LeBron, especially guys.
What do you guys think, though? Who's going to go ahead and
it's no way. I mean, Jaylen Brown, he's playing in some good basketball,
they're all playing,
too. But I just, but do you agree that if Hayward and Irving were in it, that they could beat the
I definitely
Cavs?
Because
I think they could.
I mean, he's using Al Horford so well.
What a story that is, with Kyrie Irving and LeBron.
I wanted to
see
that so
bad.
That.
You and me both.
I was waiting for that. I'm like, all right, Celtics, Cavs, we're going to see the clash between Kyrie and LeBron. They're going to go right at each other, shot for shot.
It would have been so great. Yeah. And now it's going to be a little anticlimactic, and we know the Cavs are going to win that series. Yeah. And then it's going to be Cavs, Warriors again, and the Warriors going to win it.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, I want to dispute it, but I can't.
The Cavs just don't have enough weapons to go up against this the Warriors. The Warriors got a deep bench. They've got Steph's healthy now. Yeah. There's no way you can beat them.
We're going
to see. You double team Durant. There's with three other guys are open. You know what I'm saying? There's no
LeBron's
there's no
the
way
only
to,
one playing. It's not a team sport over there.
No, so, I don't like it.
I know
it's
kind of boring, but to be honest with you, I think the first round was the best basketball. Now it's kind of getting a little. That's just my opinion.
Predictable.
You know?
Not for it's where we are.
Now it's predictable.
Eventually, when you funnel down to it, it just ends up at the same kind of like theme. It's Cavs, Warriors. This year, the Warriors are going to take it.
Yeah.
The Warriors probably should have taken it when they had the 3-1 lead. Sorry, Warriors fans.
And before we wrap it up, people were so concerned about the Warriors and the Cavs, how they were struggling through the regular season. Am I right?
Well, that was injuries for the Warriors. Right? Yeah. And the Cavs, that was
they were struggling
straight up their team. Yeah.
But isn't it funny, though? And then you look, again, all that matters is post-season.
Yeah, it's like that in every sport.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was exciting. You know, some NBA, NHL, and then, of course, Mike Smith, our guest, who was phenomenal, and we were so glad to have him. But we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back here on Tuesday on the Weekly Pass. Thank you guys for joining me again for another Tuesday.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be back again at 2 o'clock Pacific Coast time. I'm Bonnie Jill Laughlin, and you can find us on the Weekly Pass at BJL Weekly Pass. And for me, at Bonnie Jill on Instagram, Facebook, and at BJ Laughlin on Twitter.
You can find me at David H. Bloom on both Instagram and Twitter. Just Tara Rozier, I'm high on you, my man. Do some good stuff. Come on. Don't prove me wrong.
All right, don't prove them wrong. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. Thank you for joining on the chat. We had lots of you in today. We'll see you next week.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later. We're getting there.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.